This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Laura.
And I'm Rachel.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
This week's search term is
vintage.
Bow, chicka, wow, wow. Vintage.
I'm very excited for the search term. It's a lot to cover.
There's so much history here.
I mean, we're covering an entire like 20-year span. I mean, there's centuries of what could be arguably called porn.
Very true.
But we're going to basically boil down like a couple decades into porns, which is ambitious. But listen, we're going to do the search term multiple times, I'm sure.
Vintage usually generally refers to the golden age of porn, which was a 15-year period from around 1969 to 1984. It began with the release of the 1969 film Blue Movie, which was an Andy Warhol film. Mm. Fun fact, my New Year's Eve included Laura talking, arguing really.
Yeah, go ahead. How do you want to describe this moment?
Arguing really about whether or not Andy Warhol was just laughing at us all.
Yeah, it was really a high point for me.
It was just a low point for me.
Just a great life moment. Then on New Year's Eve, I was like, I know what'll be fun. I'm going to get drunk
and
pick on this person I just met and say, fuck Andy Warhol.
Art guy.
Prove me wrong.
Don't at me. So anyways, started with him.
But I'll say that this gives me extra respect for Andy Warhol.
You like him a little bit more now.
Yeah. My whole thing about him.
Oh, here we fucking go, you
it's
guys.
It's just that he was cognizant of like the art world and fucking it, and that I don't need to see his like screen prints on the wall, but I do think he was brilliant, but that he was like a master manipulator almost as much as anything. That's all I'll say about Andy Warhol.
All
back
right.
To porn.
Back to porn. So golden age of porn included such like wide release films such as Deep Throat in 1972, Behind the Green Door, and The Devil and Miss Jones, and the opening of Misty Beethoven.
Mona by Bill Osco, released in 1970, was also a big one at the onset of this era.
Yes. And the biggest thing was that these were adult erotic films that had explicit sex, and they had a wide theatrical release. So if you guys watch the show Deuce on HBO, I'm sure you know all about this.
Yeah.
But in case you don't, now you do.
I grabbed way too much research.
Oh boy.
About vintage porn. We don't have to go into all of it, but I did nerd out a bunch. I don't know why I find erotica through history very fascinating, but I do.
It is.
Because I think it's always a conversation about agency and about subcultures and about deviance. And
it's also like, look at how natural this is. It's been around for ages.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's more seeds of porn further back than we would think. I also, specific to the golden age of porn, found the research around the Supreme Court's 1973 Miller versus California decision redefined obscenity from utterly without socially redeeming value to lax serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. So from my understanding, what happened after that is that porns had to have stories.
Interesting.
That was the part that I was like, you're the problem, Miller versus California, because
you had to add a storyline.
There had to be this. They were like, this artistic was when like feature length porn reigned king. There was a lot shot on film. And yeah, I didn't realize like the reason porn became had these like themes and scenes and like action that just is there to drive sex. that is often like badly constructed was to get around this obscenity law.
Yeah. Super interesting.
That changed later.
I have some fun facts about people that search for vintage.
Into it.
So this is super unsurprising, but basically people over the age of 55 are 50% more likely to view vintage porn, and people under the age of 35 are 50% less likely to watch it. Also, it's way more popular with men.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And
I don't know why that surprises me.
Yeah. Specifically, the 80s are the most popular decade. 90s are the second most popular, but they only have like half of the volume of the 80s. And the 70s came in third. So it looks like just a bunch of old men searching for this term to try and
relive in their glory days.
Yeah, just, you know, get a little sense of nostalgia.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. One of the biggest porn stars from the 70s and 80s that's still active today, Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley?
Yeah.
Tell me about Nina Hartley.
So she recently partnered with Pornhub and has like an educational campaign to kind of help seniors learn more about safe sex.
Oh.
But she has won a bunch of feminist porn awards because she's got like Nina Hartley's Guide to Pegging, things like that. And she's been around from the 70s, which is kind of crazy. And she's still in the porn industry, which is nuts because that's hard to do as a woman.
That is hard to do
because
as a woman.
Usually your porn career is pretty short as a woman. You're either
MILF. She's Maggie Smith.
Yeah. Yes. She is the Dame Maggie Smith. But actually for men, I mean, men can stay in the porn industry for years and years and years because then once they get older, it's like superstar, porn star, Ron Jeremy fucks hot young teen.
Do you have stats around that? That like men have a longer trajectory in their porn careers?
I really wish you hadn't asked me that.
I'm challenging you on your assumptions here.
I don't have them written down, but it was definitely something that I've read.
I mean, so. I certainly, okay, that's good to know. I know it's very much true in Hollywood, and I'm curious if it's true in the Valley.
It is.
Specifically as well.
In a lot of interviews.
It makes sense to me. I'm just, it's good to know you read it somewhere.
Yeah. I read it in multiple places, but I just didn't cite my resources. And I apologize now to my 11th grade English teacher for failing her.
Do you want to call her out by name?
Or no, I won't. I won't do that to her.
Probably for the best.
So the countries that are most often searching for vintage porn are primarily in Europe, which is kind of cool. I thought that was interesting. And the states that search for it are like Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire, and Montana, West Virginia, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, Alaska. So states I never go to, you know.
Yeah.
Least popular in the District of Columbia.
Least popular in D.C.
Yeah.
Interesting. We want our porn current. Can I say one more thing about the golden age of porn?
Yes, give it to me.
I was curious why it ended. You know, like it's always interesting to see something in its heyday and then it just goes away on my birth year. And that doesn't seem right.
You destroyed the golden age of porn.
I single-handedly. So it was partially the increasing availability of video cassette recorders for private viewing in the 80s supplanted film as the preferred distribution medium, which makes a lot of sense. Like video came around. Also, I mean, this Miller versus California thing sort of made it harder to make porn. So, you know, that was, I think that was like the beginning. That was sort of like the first, what's that expression? Not the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Not the it was the first one. It's not the last one. It was like, this is gonna fuck with this industry in a certain way and then chip away at it otherwise.
We'll say first nail in the coffin.
I'm going to posit another reason why the golden age of porn probably fell apart in the 80s.
Okay, give it.
Yep. AIDS.
Oh.
I would think that the AIDS epidemic was involved in that.
Yeah.
I don't have data on that, but part of the reason I think that is this porn we're going to review in a moment, The Blonde Next Door, starring Lisa Delieu. I looked her up.
Yeah.
My first impulse being like, this is definitely Julianne Moore. Like, this is definitely a real, like, this is the real porn actress that P.T. Anderson must have based Julianne Moore on. And Boogie Nights, I found no evidence of that. But I did find out that it's like unknown whether she's alive.
Oh.
There was rumor that she died of like AIDS-related, HIV-related complications. And then years later, It was no, no, she's alive. And then it was no, no, she's dead. Because the identities of these performers were, like, the actual identities were so closely guarded at that time that we know her as Lisa Delieu, but we don't know her real identity. So it's hard to track down. And this is pre-internet, as we'll recall. Right. So anyway, I thought that was sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
That, of course, because this is a deviant and marginalized community at that time, that it would be contending with the challenges that HIV presented.
Huh.
That might have helped dismantle things.
Okay. Okay. I'll go with you.
Unfortunately.
I'll go with you there.
Also my birth.
Yeah.
Importantly.
You were the second coming of... I don't know, the age of the golden age of porn. You've yet to fulfill your prophecy. So she would be born
here I come.
On the year 1984.
Well, how old was Jesus when he died? Because I'm already older than that.
Oh,
so I'm just doing a thing where I'm doing like a midlife.
Yeah. You'll start a new
prophet
one.
Move.
I believe in you.
Do you have any terms for us to learn?
I do have some terms, but first of all, I just want to tell you a little insight as to why vintage porn is still around and people still watch it.
Oh.
According to this Ask Men article, men prefer vintage because of like natural breasts, pubic hair, real looking women. But then you also have the downside of like bad lighting, dubbed moaning, terrible dialogue. And the action was, you know, it was a bit more softcore back then. So it was like less anal, less kink.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, I'm confused. Those are just pros and cons that this article lays out? Or those are all reasons men like it? Like men love bad lighting?
Sorry, no, sorry. I confused you there and I apologize. The upsides were that there were natural breasts, pubic hair, real looking woman. Downsides, bad lighting, dead moaning, terrible dialogue.
Yeah.
General statement, action was a bit more softcore, less anal, less kink.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Which is really interesting because like, all of the alternative indie porn that's out right now, I feel like maybe these people would like if that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, natural breasts, pubic hair, real looking woman.
Absolutely.
Probably have some better dialogue though. Production value, those things.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a storyline, but sometimes a storyline. You know, we got something for everyone.
Yeah.
I do have a term for you.
I'm ready.
You ready? I've actually got two terms.
Ah, I'm a rich woman.
So first term, porno chic.
Ooh, I found this one also.
I would say that we're pretty porno chic.
That,
would you concur?
Is true.
Yeah, porno chic. Refers to an influential five-page article that came out in the New York Times Magazine in 1973, which described the phenomenon of porn being publicly discussed by celebrities and taken seriously by critics.
So, yes, and this is right at the onset of the golden age of porn.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So it was basically like porn being accepted in the mainstream eye, in the public eye. Porno chic.
Fascinating. Did you say, do you have a second term?
Yeah,
do you have plural terms?
I have two terms.
Just lay the second one on me.
Okay, you ready for it? Porn groove.
Porn groove.
Which is the... It's the music soundtrack to typical pornographic films, frequently used as the electric guitar with the wah-wah pedal. It's the most common instrument associated with porn groove. Also, minimalistic sounding drums with a rim shot sound being commonly associated with porn groove also. So wah-wah pedal and a rim shot.
We're going to have to start doing full bibliographies on this.
I know.
On these episodes. Somebody's going to get mad.
I know.
In the meantime, should I do our homepage hoedown?
Let's fucking do it.
The vintage search term brought up the following titles.
I can't wait.
This is an interesting one for hoedown. This is an interesting. Let me not blow the load before I read them. Here we go. Can someone please tell me name of video and girl in short hair name?
This guy sounds desperate.
So he has to find her.
He's been up for hours.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who this woman is.
My assumption here was that this guy, looks like a vintage porn, but it's, you know, maybe like early 90s. And this guy's like uploaded a video that he somehow has. that he pirated or just found, that he just found in his house and needs to find out who this woman is.
Yeah.
I'm concerned for both of them.
I know. Do you think that he's destined to be with her, or he's just like, God, this has been keeping me up at night. I know her name, but I just can't figure it out.
I think he thinks he's got to know who she is. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a hardcore fandom of some kind, but yeah. I don't know.
Or he's like, this woman is my daughter. Or I guess it would be
and
mother.
And I don't know her name.
I guess it would be mother in this case. Or grandmother.
His mom's in a porn.
Yeah, he's like, I think this woman is my mom. She looks exactly like me. Or this one picture that I have that I've been carrying around in my shirt pocket since I was 11.
See, now we're writing a great movie.
I know we are. I can't help
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guy.
Inspiration just flows out of me.
Next one. Momandson.com. .com in all caps. .com in the title. This is not a website. The title of the porn is momandson.com.
That's
I don't know if it's vintage, honestly.
I'm going to say no because
it came up in the search. So you tell me, Pornhub.com. Yeah.
Would, you know,
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
No answers.
Okay. All right. We won't even get into it.
We're going to let that keep you up tonight, but okay. We're going to let it go for the moment.
Maybe it has to do with the guy in the first one who's looking for his mom.
Guy, I built a website for you.
Yeah.
This is the most elaborate
and he's just trying
ever.
To just find his mother.
It's just two guys trying to help each other out. Our movie turned into a buddy comedy. Yeah. Okay, next one. Handjob cum shot compilation with an arc.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that they've included some structure in there.
I also have old school spunk compilation.
Oh.
Which is a tasty title.
Is it tasty?
Yeah, I've got a taste in my mouth.
Ooh.
I appreciate that compilations were a thing.
Yeah.
Long ago.
Were they, or were, did someone just go through hours and hours, you know, putting things into
You're
the internet?
Absolutely right. Putting things into the internet
from film.
What do you think the internet is?
I don't know.
A sex act?
It's like a slot, and you put things in.
You know,
in.
When they enter the internet, when they penetrate it,
it's like a slot where you return your Blockbuster VHS, and it goes into the internet.
It all sounds very sexual.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast parody.
That's vintage, huh?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I weirdly think I knew about this before I looked again.
What year?
I didn't look up the year. I can maybe grab it.
Because I guess like technically anything, I wonder
looked,
what the f- year span is.
It looked very 80s based on the hair.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool.
I mean, I wasn't like, this is just a parody that found its way into the vintage section. This did look vintage.
Because I wonder if like things that like we masturbated to when we were younger are now considered vintage.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you masturbated to Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, no.
And I was going to be
like,
the
Disney version.
Who did it?
Remember when he turned into a prince at the end? Hot.
I mean, listen, I'm turned on by plenty of Disney princes, but I wasn't masturbating at the time that I was watching those movies.
Oh,
and
sure.
I wasn't going back to those movies once I started masturbating. So I just was curious about the timeline there.
I had weird things happening in my crotch when I first saw Aladdin.
Yeah. John Cusack as Dimitri in Anastasia.
Oh, okay.
A little wet thinking about it right now.
Oh.
Prince Eric.
Prince Eric, always.
A classic. Yeah.
He's a hottie. I used to make my Esmeralda Barbie and my Aladdin Barbie fuck when I was younger.
Yeah.
So.
I made some Barbies fuck.
Don't
I mean,
sue
they
me,
didn't because I didn't know what fucking was. I just put them on top of each other and then put them alone under the bed and be like, well, you better do it now.
Whatever I won't is. Look, but I'm gonna think about it.
Okay. Tall girl versus short guy height comparison.
What do we think is vintage about this?
Nothing. I just had to share that I found this. I mean, it looks maybe like 2001, which I don't think we consider vintage, or maybe we do. But it's also not porn.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Not
I was
porn.
Too curious.
Yeah, you
it's literally like a very, very short man. Like a very petite man and a very, very, very tall woman.
Are they naked?
Nope.
Oh.
They're wearing clothes. The whole trajectory of this video is that she takes something from him and then like teases him and he tries to get it back. It just feels mean.
They just play a game.
Yes.
Oh, like she's
like
holding
she's
it above
so
his head.
Tall that, yes. But it's, she's so far above his head that it's not even fun to watch.
He can't even, there's no way in hell he'll get to it.
Yeah.
Huh. Someone does, someone masturbates to that, I'm sure.
I don't think anyone does.
Okay, well.
I mean, someone wants to. And okay, even
the person,
that person
who does, prove us wrong.
No, even that person is like, do better. Yeah. Like, it's not, okay, we don't have to review this whole porn.
All right, sorry.
Dad fucked daughter on her weeding day.
Weeding.
So we've got some incest. We've got some typos. All the, and it's vintage.
The great makings of a classic Pornhub porn.
Uh-huh. Last one. The pig keeper's daughter. 1972.
The pig keeper's daughter.
Huh. I don't even know what joke to make about that. Just
classic. I don't even know. I don't know.
Your classic vintage. You know what we're into in the 70s. Like, when did Animal Farm
What's a pig keeper? A farmer? Just a farmer.
A pig farmer?
Yeah.
Pig keeper?
But it's interesting that they use the term
farmer.
Pig keeper. He's the keeper of the pigs.
Yeah. It did make me really want to watch it. I was very curious. Yeah.
Like, in my head, he's like a creepy old villain man, and he keeps the pigs, and you have to fight him to get to the pigs.
We're really going down this I road. Know, sorry. Huh?
Yeah.
You know what I think?
But his daughter's like locked in a tower, maybe. I don't know.
Do you want to take a break before we review some porns?
Sure.
All right. We'll be right back.
Let's take a break.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I just want to commend you on your pig keeper's daughter joke. I feel like both of us found ourselves at a loss for a joke, and you were like,
I tried.
I volunteer as a tribute.
I did.
And I am making a joke happen, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you
and
so
I
much.
And I support you.
Thanks.
Should we talk about porn?
Yeah, let's talk about some
like,
porn.
Should we talk, crazy idea. Should we talk about porn?
Let's do it.
So the first one we want to talk about, is private. Called... You go.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Private Pleasures from Fatal Media.
Yes. The year 1985.
A
good year. A very good year. So still in the golden age of porn.
The year after my birth.
Oh, no, sorry. Not the golden age of porn. So a year afterwards.
Technically, yeah. Technically, this is just after.
Yeah.
What but brave still, filmmakers.
Still vintage.
Starring Terry.
Yes.
Mariko. Uh-huh. And carriage?
Yeah, I think that's how that's pronounced.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So this I found on a feminist
platform
called pinklabel.tv. Mm-hmm. And Fatale Media was known, you know, even back then for being feminist and ethical, for producing quality videos that are explicit, authentic, and sexy, and geared to lesbians and other sexually adventurous souls. Yeah. Pretty cool little porn, I have to say.
Yeah, feels a lot like a avant-garde music video.
The whole thing felt like an art house film.
Yes. There's plot, but basically the basic premise is like,
yeah. Give us a brief synopsis.
A lesbian couple. Well, first this Asian woman comes home. This is Mariko.
Yes.
I had to be like, plus for Asian inclusion.
Yeah,
in the
for
80s.
Sure.
Mariko comes home. Home? I don't know where anybody is.
Yeah.
Let me rewind. She arrives somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that she's coming home.
Yeah. And then she like fantasizes. She strips down.
And I think she touches herself. She turns her TV on.
Is that what?
Yeah. I think that's the thought here is that she turns the TV on and she's watching this other couple who happened to be in a penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And this lesbian couple, there's like it's kind of like a classic like butch femme dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And they're like getting down in their penthouse and Mariko's getting off by watching them.
Yeah, it's intercut. It's like back to Mariko masturbating,
uh-huh,
back to couple fucking.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the premise.
Yeah. I have to say the whole thing felt like everyone was an extra in the movie Blade Runner. You know what I mean?
The hair certainly felt
the
that way.
The hair... The outfits.
Yeah.
There was a lot of silver.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was very... I mean, this is maybe... Who knows how the quality of the film was maintained or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt very, like, moody and, like, darkly lit. And you couldn't quite see everything well.
Everything was kind of, like, in a prism of color.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The music...
Was insane.
Was nuts. So you told me this is the part you're going to watch. And then you proceeded to watch it. Yeah. And I swear to God, my experience is that you watched hours of the same like Twilight Zone riff on loop.
It was like 80s synth techno dream pop.
Yes.
There's no other way.
And
I mean,
that's
I don't
even
know.
Sort of generous because there's no lyrics. It's just like this very sustained synth stuff.
Yeah. There's also no dialogue.
Yeah, no dialogue.
It's all just visuals. This original music.
Visuals and this very edgy, synthy,
crazy
jam band of one.
Yeah.
It's just one guy.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
So some things that I really liked.
Go for it.
I have to say I loved the style and the music.
You loved the music.
I was like, this is awesome.
I was so here for the music initially.
Yeah.
I think it almost ruined my experience just hearing the music isolated without the visuals on repeat. Because I was like, this is so weird.
It just was so stylized.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it.
I loved the whole thing. It was really stylized.
Yeah. I really liked it.
It was such a weird
watch. It was so absurd. The weird like title cards and like 8-bit typography on title cards.
I mean, it honestly... When I initially watched it, it felt like almost a parody of itself.
To say
that, like, it felt like someone made a movie that they wanted to look like it was made in 85.
Exactly.
Like, it was pretty over the top.
Yeah,
it was, you know, like, they're
so
really
on-brand.
Doing it. Like, the VCR typography, the, like, obscured visuals, mm-hmm. and then the, like, and the hair that is a mile high and very punk for that era.
Yeah,
the Duran Duran hair.
Some things that I also really liked about it, there was the use of a toy.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
They also had like a little moment of like, of some light canapes. They had some snacks with some whipped cream. And I swear to God, if you see whipped cream in a fucking porn, it's going on someone's body.
Yeah.
You know it. You know it is.
Yeah.
And they dipped the toy in the whipped cream, mm-hmm. which I was like, oh. Nice
interesting
touch.
Move.
Yeah. Nice touch.
I'll also say the sex just looked really believable.
Yes, to 100%.
Who would that be? Was Carriage the
blonde.
Seducer? Oh, Carriage the blonde. Terry is the seductor.
Yes.
I think is how they referred to that character. Like really confident hands. Like I was mm-hmm. like, this is a this is a lesbian who has fucked a lot of people.
For sure.
Like, I was here for it. Like, there was confidence there. There was believability.
Yeah.
There was fisting.
There was fucking fisting.
There was fisting.
Surprise.
I was surprised.
I also was surprised.
I don't seek out fisting porn.
Me neither.
So I was like, huh.
But you know what? I didn't hate it.
You didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
This wasn't your first fisting porn, was it?
No.
Okay.
But it's not something that I search for.
Right.
But like, it's also something that I'm not turned on by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you were here for it.
I was there for it. I was like, interesting. I mean, just because the idea, like watching her like whole body react to that.
Yeah.
And like, I'm really into like a mix of pleasure, pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
When it's like obvious pleasure, but like
pushing to an edge, yes, in a certain way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't say the fisting. I feel like I'm the prude one.
Why you gotta do that?
One and I'm the prude one.
Why you gotta do that? Don't talk about my friend like that.
Thanks. But I was there for it. I was there to learn and to be open to it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't turned on by it because I think that's more penetration. Like, I imagined it for myself and was like, I don't think I'd be into that. Mm. I wasn't like repulsed by it. I just was like,
yeah,
not for me. But it felt accurate, and it was really compelling in this context. And she came.
Oh yeah, she came.
That was such an orgasm. Here's how I feel like I know. Because she got close.
Yeah.
And then they like zoomed in on her face.
Yeah.
And she didn't come right away. Like, yeah, camera was like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
And then they like kept fucking for longer. And you saw her like really focus in on Terry.
Yes.
Which is such a perfect like 85 lesbian name.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Terry and I'm here to fist you. That is said with pure love and admiration for Terry, because she really killed it in this film. But it's like it went on for longer, and then it was like, oh, this is really, really it.
Yeah, she has like a full body orgasm. Seizing. Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah, and the activity is commensurate with the reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was...
How do you feel about... Well, you finish your sentence.
Okay. I was just going to say, at one point, she like... The carriage like flipped around while she was being fisted.
Yeah.
And I was like, that just reminds me just of like a pig on a spit.
That was crazy. The mechanics of that, like, she like
flipped her leg over, like
with her,
and then just was on all fours,
while fisting her from behind throughout.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Talent,
full rotation.
This is an experienced lover.
Yeah,
this is a professional lover, I suppose, officially.
And then she flips around again.
Yeah. How do you feel about Mariko's side of the action? Her solo.
I didn't need Mariko
to
there.
The scene. You didn't need Mariko.
I have to say,
I actually was kind of into it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's a not uncommon dynamic, the like sort of voyeur.
Oh, I'm super into like aspect. Voyeur porn. But
I thought the setup was a little strange, that it was like, are you watching? Are you somewhere else? Like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
And that Mariko didn't seem to be like watching anything specific. In specific.
Yeah. Her eyes were kind of closed. I think if it had been more like obvious that she was watching them, like if she was like focused on.
Yeah.
Like a camera or like where the
That would
the
have told
screen.
A different story than what it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of just she comes home and masturbates and that also happens.
Right.
But I thought she was hot, and I thought I kind of enjoyed the weirdness of her like tripping on her fur coat.
Yeah. What was that?
It was a very fuck that dress moment.
Was it like, was it a fur satin lined like blanket, or was it a coat?
I thought maybe it was a coat.
I don't know.
She was like, this is here.
Yeah, I'm going to rub my pussy on this.
It's just an interesting choice. I mean, it didn't turn me on based on the object she chose. And generally, like, watching tribbing isn't necessarily my thing.
Yeah.
But she had, like, a sweet ass. There was...
She had a sweet ass.
What can I say?
Yeah.
There were some details in the way that she, like, flipped over at one point, was, like, getting more into the tribbing, and then, like...
Yeah.
There was just a detail in like how she was humping and the way her like ass flexed. Do you know what I mean? Like the motion of her body was really compelling for a time for me.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, because that's you don't see a lot of that anymore. Like that sort of felt like that art house thing that this porn seemed to be going for. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm here for it. Like, there's a tiny physical detail here that I'm drawn into.
Yeah.
That isn't like vaginal anatomy and isn't like penetration. It's like someone pleasuring themselves and you see their body like working for that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was
grinding around.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Very other, believable orgasms.
Yeah. Other super hot moments or cons for you?
There was a one moment when like Terry was going down on her, she was just like rubbing her face.
Yeah.
In Carriage's pussy. And I was like, that looks great.
Yeah.
That looks like it feels amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love someone who just like unashamed, like just like shoves their mouth and
commitment,
nose,
you know, like get in there.
Yeah. And isn't like, cause I feel like so many times when you watch like a lesbian scene, like the girls are just kind of like, it's just like kind of tongue.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah. I wanted kind of like delicate,
like, but like the, she was like in there.
But yeah. She was like, yeah,
she was
here
munching
for it.
Yeah. Which I liked.
Which is hot. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I like to see my pussy looking.
Can I point out my one favorite detail?
Yeah. What is that?
I watched the credits because I
did too.
I committed. The penthouse set designer.
Yeah.
Jazz.
That's just the name.
That's that person's name. But I like to think that the entire movement designed that penthouse.
Just jazz.
Because it might have. There's a lot of style in that penthouse. A lot of improv.
Yeah, a lot of improv.
Some free form technique.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're nerds.
Oh my gosh. I also watched the credits because I wanted to know who did the music. And then I Googled this person. I couldn't find anything more, but her name is Mary Kelly. I also wanted to figure out who the director was.
Yeah.
And it said it was either O.wow or D.wow, capital D.wow, but I couldn't tell because it was in like an 8-bit.
Yeah.
Type. So it's either O wow or D wow.
It's a VCR font.
Yeah. I couldn't tell.
It's like, how do they even, I guess that's just how that worked then.
Yeah.
Female camera.
Yeah.
I noticed.
Yeah. It was a heavily female crew.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them.
Very
paving cool. The way.
Any other standout things about this one?
I guess I like fisting.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the next one?
Yeah. Really quick. Just a reminder. You can go to our website and find the links to the feminist ethical porn.
Yeah, you can watch that very porn.
Yeah.
Via our website.
Yeah.
And then on pinklabel.tv. You do have to pay some things, but
it's worth it, honestly.
It might be worth it just because it is an experience in the film.
It's fucking worth it.
All right. The next one we're reviewing is called The Blonde Next Door.
Yes. It's a clip from The Blonde Next Door.
Thank you.
Because it is a full porn.
This is a feature film.
Yes.
That we chose a scene from.
Mm-hmm. It's from 1982 because I wanted, you know what? I'm going to say it. I wanted to get a scene with Ron Jeremy. I wanted to watch one.
I think that was a really strong move, Rachel, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
This is also like Ron Jeremy's heyday.
Yeah.
I picture Ron Jeremy closer to now.
No, but
heavier,
back then.
Uncle vibes.
Yeah. Weird.
Not something I'm
hair
into.
Balding pattern.
And I got it more. I was like, oh, this guy could be in Goodfellas.
Yeah. So this was directed by Joe Sherman, written by Ed DeLong. There was actually a writer, which is cool. And a brief synopsis of this film. When Barry Horn seduces frustrated married Cindy, her feminine ejaculation's pheromones make Barry's buxom and usually unresponsive secretary want him in every way. Once sold as a cologne, even a sister cannot resist her brother.
Which is a giveaway.
To what's going to happen.
That I wish, I mean, I'm glad I didn't have when I watched it. Because... Should I just do the dialogue?
Well, let's save it.
Oh, we're saving the dialogue? I was going to do the intro to the porn so that we understand how the like female pheromone thing works.
Okay, fine.
So Lisa Delieu, who we said it earlier, but reiterate, is starring opposite Ron Jeremy, walks into an office and is like, yeah, what do you want? In her best Hepburn.
First of all, this looks like an early makeup test for Miss Flanagan, for Annie.
She's a redhead.
What's happening?
She's giving us woman who runs orphanage slash She's doing this office.
She's doing the classic move that every secretary does when they walk into their boss's office, is she's filing her fingernails.
Yeah.
Immediately we know she don't give a fuck.
She made a choice, Rachel. Yeah. She made a strong choice.
Yeah, and I applaud her for it.
And then his response is, I want you to sit on my face so I can guess your weight.
Yeah. I want to play carnival.
And then, yes, thank you. I want to play carnival. And then a little bit more dialogue ensues where she's like, where's that article I left you? And then she like picks it up and puts it on his desk and gets close to him and then instantly says, God, what are you wearing? Oh, I'm going to violate my principles. And he says, no, I'm going to violate your principles. I'm just using her voice now for him, but you get it. Everybody's sort of razzmatazz.
Everyone's kind of doing a
style
here.
It's almost Girl Friday, but it's also got a twinge of 80s.
Yeah.
And then they have sex.
And he says, well, she's not wearing any underwear.
Right.
And she lays down on the couch and he says, I always knew you were a real redhead.
Uh-huh. Important. Get it? Because her pubic hair
matches her
hair
on her head.
Yeah.
Which is red.
She's a redhead. Yes. I will say I appreciate the nature of her bush.
Yeah.
And the existence, the presence of it.
Oh, yeah. She looks great.
In full force. Okay.
And then he goes down on her.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos for going down on her first.
Yeah. I feel like maybe we have to do a wider data sampling.
Yeah.
But of the vintage porn I've watched, I feel like there is more cunnilingus and more female pleasure and more in a lot of it.
Yeah. Somewhere along the way, we got lost.
And that way was MindGeek.
Yeah.
That way was the aggregates that were like, you know what?
We're just going to fuck her in the mouth.
Skip to the mouth fucking. Everybody likes a good dick fucking a mouth.
Yeah.
Capitalism. Can I, another observation I made that I was like, what?
Yeah.
The music starts when they start fucking.
As soon as they start hooking up. The porno groove, baby.
I'm so used to porn scenes now where it's like, you know, sometimes in the feminist space of the like high art, high production value, like X-art world, it's like, we've got like music and we've got like wind through the curtains in a sunny day. And then whatever setup.
Yeah.
And then once they're like, okay, we're fucking.
It's
like
just the
sound. Raw sound.
Yeah.
And this was like, hey, what blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, I always knew you were a redhead. And it's so, the music is such friendly 60s sitcom music.
It sounds like call waiting.
Or it sounds like a friendly neighborhood show about friends, like in the 60s. It takes place in like a, what does it take, you know, like,
but it just sounds like music made specifically to pass the time, like either in an elevator like call waiting.
Yeah,
like it's just vamping.
It's transitional music. Yeah, like it's meant to be interstitial, but it's underscoring the entire sex scene. You're so very good. She says at one point.
She does.
Oh, you're so very good. I couldn't help. God, I'm really going to nerd out now. I'm fascinated by linguistics and the question of like how actors sound different as you go further back in time.
Yeah.
You know, like movie stars of the 20s and 30s. Yeah. Well, once we get into talkies, but like movie stars of the 30s and 40s and 50s. Have what sounds to us like an affected speech.
Yes.
And the question of whether that's like a trained vocal technique versus actually how everyone spoke. And I think it's actually more so how everyone spoke than many people think.
Yeah, the musicality of it.
And I kind of love it.
Oh, this, yeah, I miss
it. Because it's such a like, we're classy, see? And we're fucking and I have a real bush and I'm a redhead. Zip zap.
You're really very good.
You're really very good. Also, her closing line, he says something like, I knew you'd come around, and then she's like, or does he ask why she came around?
He goes, what made you finally give in to my charm?
Yeah, she goes, well, it wasn't your personality, you moron.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, she still thinks he's a moron.
Yeah.
And then she's like, it's that cologne you're wearing. And I was like, they really worked hard to motivate the sex
the
she didn't
story,
want to have.
Yeah.
But then that was the feature plot.
Yeah. And then we have a brief cutaway of he remembers the woman he ate out previously in the morning.
He's like, uh-huh.
And he was like, oh my God, I've got an idea.
Get me a standard contract.
and meet me outside in 5 minutes. And then she has the great line.
Standard contract? Hasn't been a standard contract since I started working here. Fucking classic.
Genius.
You can't, like, I feel like listening to this, you can't tell whether we're riffing or whether this is the actual dialogue.
Literally.
But let us be clear that we are quoting this film.
The Blonde Next Door.
Yeah. I love the vintage decor.
I loved,
that's because that's the decor of when it takes place.
Bright blue eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm.
And huge hair.
Yes. And also, huge natural tits, also, I feel tits. The need to say.
It was yes. Like, oh. There's some titty then, fucking in
pre-surgery
this.
And yeah, it starts with titty fucking.
It starts with
much.
Titty fucking, yeah.
That out. Yeah.
It was a good portion of it was titty fucking.
Yeah.
How do you feel about titty fucking?
You know, I feel fine about it.
Do you?
I have titty fucked now that I think about it, but more in the vein of like, hey, let's give this a shot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a particularly big boobed woman.
Yeah.
So it's not anybody's first thought, I don't think.
Yeah.
Nor do I think most people go to titty fucking.
Right.
That aren't in porn.
Yeah.
Or watching as much
I
of it
feel
as
like
we
it
are.
Was like something I did when I was like 17, when I was like, my boyfriend was like, I want to fuck your tits.
Yeah. And you were like, that's great.
And I was like, cool. What am I getting out of this?
Yeah. I mean, like, I will. There's this sort of hilarious logistical challenge of like, don't poke me in the chin.
Right, right.
You know?
Like, my boobs aren't that
big. That was specifically a challenge with Ron Jeremy. He almost, like, knobbed her in the chin.
Yeah, I mean, she has huge enough boobs there. Where I'm like, oh, that looks like it would feel good.
Yeah. There was also a suppleness to them.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, a wobbly...
Yes, they were, like...
to them.
They were
that I was
full.
Like, oh, yeah, those things can really, like, wrap themselves around a dick. Whereas actually, like,
pillowy.
A fake tit or, like, a less ample tit.
Harder.
You're really struggling to get it around the dick.
Yeah.
In this case, I was like, I get titty fucking.
Yeah,
like,
me
I
too.
I actually thought that was pretty good titty fucking among the titty fucks I have seen.
Very true. I would agree. Ron Jeremy's body is not bad.
Pretty dope.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. That's why I was like, are you like a minor player in Godfather? Like, what's happening? He just has a very like,
he doesn't
Italian
look
Italian vibe, and I get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's.
It appeals to our, you know, inner 1970s Italian gals inside of us.
Yeah. Our Italian heritage.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
But also like the, like, you know, New Jersey, New York, like leopard print wearing, like.
Wait, are you saying you have a tiny, stereotypically Italian woman inside you?
Oh, you know this about me. You've seen my gold hoops.
That's true. I have a different Italian inside me.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
She's like in the countryside in southern Italy.
Right. Picking grapes.
Yeah. And
sure.
Crushing them with her feet. And
got it.
Climbing trees and maybe singing to birds.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't thought it out, but she's there. I'll talk to her later and I'll let you know.
She'll make you pasta.
Oh, I had one line that I genuinely couldn't hear what she said.
Yeah.
But I think she said, oh, it's a gift.
Oh.
About his dick, maybe?
Interesting.
Like, this is a gift. It's a gift. It was very muffled. It was quiet.
Yeah.
But in the vein of other, like, oh, he's so very good. She was like, what a gift. Do you think I could pull out saying, what a gift your dick is to someone in real life?
I can't wait for it, actually.
I'm gonna.
I'm gonna need you to do it.
You're all
ASAP.
Here to bear witness. I'm doing it.
This is a great line, too. I knew you had an anxious crotch. Why'd you finally give in?
That's the line.
Anxious
I left out.
Crotch.
Anxious crotch. You're right. Why didn't I write that down? Genius. Thanks for salvaging that gem.
Anytime I'm interviewed, put that under in my chyron, under my name.
Anxious crotch.
Yeah, Rachel. Oh shit! I said my last name again.
You really want people to know who you are, Rachel.
Sorry.
It's fine. You're the hot one. You're courting offers. I get it.
Anxious crotch.
We haven't actually said, like, did you find this porn hot overall?
I kind of did.
I kind of did too.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone was having a great time.
That's pretty far from hating it, actually.
I don't think that. I don't think that she has an orgasm.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that happened
you
either.
Know.
Yeah. That's important.
Oh, there was a weird thing that happened. Okay, so there was this kind of cool shot where it was like from below. They start to fuck while they're standing up.
Yeah.
And he lifts up a leg, or she lifts one of her legs up, and they shoot it from below.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was a weird editing error.
But no, that for me, it was like this weird thing that she was doing where she was like reaching back from behind and kind of like an underneath and trying to like kind of get to his balls, I think. But she was sort of just like lightly like petting his penis. Like it was like a cat and she was like a villain.
Gentle, you know what I mean?
Like just like a little like slight, very tickling stroking of his cock.
Oh, that's a totally different detail than I was thinking of that yeah. I thought you were going to talk about. Oh, there was also a weird editing moment
oh.
when they're fucking standing up and the camera's coming up from below.
Yeah.
And it cut to their faces.
Yeah.
And then back. It just was an awkward cut. And yeah. I was like, ah, 1982.
They were still figuring
like,
it out.
Like it was like fucking and they're like in motion and their heads are sort of wobbling around as they're fucking. And then it cuts to a tight on their heads and it's like, still,
yeah,
back to fucking and wobbling. And I was like, yeah. It's a weird edit, but
interesting. Yeah.
You don't get a lot of takes in porn at this time, as we learned it's in true. Our research.
Film was expensive.
They had to do take a lot of time for camera moves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 82. So this is like towards the end of the golden age.
Right.
Which also explains the elaborate perfume plot.
Yeah. They were really
pheromone
trying.
Pheromone plot that they came up with.
It had
with.
To have artistic integrity.
Yeah.
What was it? Like artistic or literary?
Yeah. I can't remember. I can reread the note, but we don't need to. You all heard it.
Anyways.
Earlier. Because you were listening very well, and we thank you for that.
You guys are the best. I was honestly shocked at how much clit stimulation there was.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Good Maybe for that's you guys. Why Ron Jeremy was a star.
Yeah.
But she does it. As well.
Yeah, she's touching herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
Lena. Damn it. Lisa.
Lisa
said
DeLue.
It eight times. Lisa
DeLue. Yeah. The only downside that I have.
Aside from her not necessarily coming.
Her not coming and like the weird thing that she does to his penis while she's like kind of stroking it. I hate when a man says sweetheart.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I find it condescending.
Yeah. Yeah, he did it in a particular... He did it in a particular moment when she was sucking him off.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, sweetheart, take the whole thing. Interestingly, yeah. though, that wasn't about him getting his dick. He didn't say take the whole thing. Excuse me. He said all the way down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about her deep throating. It was actually about her licking the outside of his cock to
yeah.
the base.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting. So I weirdly forgave it because I was like, he's not fucking the back of her throat.
Yeah,
so
he's not being different. Like, yeah, take the whole thing, sweetheart.
I
yeah.
agree. I mean, I hate sweetheart. It creeps me out.
In a porn, specifically, when a guy says sweetheart, that just feels gross. And
yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's like male gazy and like infantilizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And weirdly, I forgave it because A, it's vintage.
Yeah.
And I expected that guy to be like, sure, sweetheart.
Yeah.
But the fact that she was like, you moron. Like,
yeah, she gave it back to him.
That she hated him. That I was like, yeah, this guy says sweetheart because he's a douchebag. He also said, sit in my face so I can guess your weight.
Yeah.
I wanna... Which isn't a yeah. super progressive thing
I know,
to say.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like let go of holding this porn up to like.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, a standard.
You're right.
I apply to others. But no, it's a really good point. When he said sweetheart, I was like, oh, this is Ron Jeremy, the porn star, not the character saying like, yeah, mm-hmm. sweetheart. It's kind of how like James Dean will like whisper to girls or like kind of talk to them. Be like, you do this and then you do this. And you can kind of tell he's like directing the porn from the inside.
Right.
It has sort of that feeling. And I'm like, oh, is she feeling taken care of though? Or are you just telling her what to, you know, like it has that vibe to it. So I agree. I was more forgiving of it because of the context of
in
the porn.
Time period. Yeah.
And knowing that we're going back in time. So
what do you think? Are either of these going into your spank bank or what?
I think not officially.
Not officially. Cool.
I'm dying. Sorry. Something happened to my voice there.
Interesting. I found Private Pleasures very sexy and I was turned on while watching it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily to go into my spank bank.
Yeah.
I would suggest it, though.
Yeah. I would jill off to both of them, frankly.
Yeah.
If pressed.
Yeah.
And
The Blonde Next Door didn't titillate me as much. I was surprised, for sure, at how kind of progressive it was. I mean, it was definitely a lot better than what I was expecting.
The stuff that I go, like, it didn't sustain the things that I was there for.
Yeah.
But it had the moments of them and, like, I can see a world where I would jill off to that. But I don't think either of these is officially going in my bank.
Fair enough.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to Girls on Porn. Please go rate us, I don't know, crazy idea, 5 stars.
Maybe leave a comment.
Is that weird? You find us on Instagram at Girls on Porn. That's Girls on Porn without the O. And thanks for listening. Did we tell them to subscribe?
Definitely you should subscribe. If we didn't tell you that, let us tell you now. You should subscribe.
You should subscribe because we're going to be back every week on Wednesdays. Happy hump day.
Ooh, ooh.
Thanks again for listening. This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good for women.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.